Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is May 3rd, 2012. In turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Make it your priority. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your prayer request, or message. If I don't get right back with you, then that means maybe your phone number wasn't clear. It's like a lot of people, they talk very fast on the answering machine. Make sure you talk slow. Or if you want to, you can send me an email and say, Pastor Dan, I need a prayer. Call me back and send me the phone number that way. You can find our email address at our blog, or you can use the simple one, pastor@wichitahomeless.com. Or get the one that's at our blog. Anyway, the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can call my cell phone if it's an emergency, 316-619-4886. And you can always find our updates with the breaking news, our ministry, this radio program, our archives, our mailing address. We're really just about anything that you want to know if you go to prophecyhour.com. And you folks out there that listen on regular radio or listen on satellite radio, you don't want to go to the internet to get your information, or you don't use the internet, as I know some of you do or don't, you can call me at that phone number and I'll give you any information that you need, 620-878-4682. Now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and I'm sure that this will benefit all of you, and if you've got family that isn't listening yet, make them turn the TV down and turn this up. Anyway, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray tonight that radio goes according to your will and not mine, but Father, I also ask for you to intercede and give us all ears in which to hear the truth and understand the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, again, we are discussing the warning to America. This warning was revealed to us by a Messianic rabbi in a book called The Harbinger. Now, we are very thankful that Rabbi Jonathan Cain, or Khan, has also made a video in order to warn America. Tonight, we go back into that warning with parts that we did not get in the first program. But most of you folks out there know that you can always go to my archives. That program's still there. In fact, many people are still listening to it every week or downloading that program. So we pray that you all have ears and wish to hear this. Just as I said in my prayer, listen closely. This is important to you and your family. And now, welcome Rabbi Jonathan Cain. Or Khan. Is it Khan? Is it Cain or Khan?
Is it Cain? It's Khan.
It's Khan. Well, you know, I thought about Khan. I thought, man, you know, people say, well, you know, that's a Khan. You know what I mean? And then I think Cain. Well, if I call him Cain, man, he's not Cain.
It's like the Mark of Cain.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in a rock and hard place.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, well, it's C-A-H-N, and actually, and it means, it's the Hebrew, from the Hebrew word for priest. It means I'm a son of Aaron.
Well, amen. Praise the
Father. I'll go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that. I like that best. Just for the record, I called you a Messianic rabbi, Messianic Jewish rabbi. Give a brief on what that is to some people. You believe in Yeshua, but, you know, explain what it means.
Yeah. Well, basically, basically Jewish, and I believe in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. And, you know, just like in the first century, Paul was, you know, Peter, you know, John, James, all of them, Messianic, you know, meaning, I mean, also called Christian, but Jewish believer. And as a rabbi, basically meaning teacher, and I'm also called pastor. I lead the Jerusalem Center here, also called Beth Israel, in Wayne, New Jersey, which is outside New York City, northern Jersey. And it's Jew and Gentile, people of every background together. And, you know, just the difference is just that it's like the original biblical Jewish flavor is there. You know, celebrate Shavuot, Pentecost, the Hebrew feasts and all that, but with Jesus, Yeshua, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I have to tell you, I've kept the Sabbath for, you know, 17 years, but then about back in 2000, somebody said, hey, Pastor Dan, you got to go over here and check out these Messianic Jews that was in Wichita. And they welcomed the Sabbath in, you know, how the woman, and now we do it that way. Uh-huh. She does the prayers over the candles, you know, and I thought, I told my wife, I bumped her, I said, oh my God, they're doing a spell, we got to get out of here. but no, it's wonderful. If you've never been to a Messianic Jewish congregation and seen how they do it, and everything just has so much more meaning because the originalities are, and they give a greater honor to the Father and the Son than I have ever really seen any place else. But anyway, we better get into this program. For the record, The Harbinger, why don't you take us a little bit in, some of the people again might not have heard it, take us back into an overview of the whole thing and set the nine harbingers up.
Sure. Yeah, it's, The Harbinger, which is, you know, the book that's come out, and now you mentioned the DVD that's coming out, is an ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future, meaning it's a 2,500-year-old mystery. It goes back to a very, you know, a fascinating thing in the Bible, and it lies behind everything from 9/11 to the America's war on terror, to the economy, to the collapse of Wall Street, to the Great Recession, to what's happening right now, to what lies behind everybody's future, financial future, every future. And it is so specific that it actually foretells or it identifies the actions of American leaders, the words that come out of their mouths, the actual days of the crash of Wall Street, even down to the hours. And it goes back to the last days of ancient Israel, when Israel was really heading to destruction in its last days. It was... Ultimately, there were nine harbingers or nine prophetic signs that appeared to Israel, and these same nine harbingers, these same prophetic signs or warning, are now reappearing, and they're reappearing to a different nation, to America, on American soil, and they're happening specifically, precisely. They're happening, it's like reenactments, prophetic reenactments that are happening. Some have appeared in New York City, some have appeared on Washington, D.C., some on Capitol Hill. Some have involved the highest leaders of the land, even the President of the United States. Some have involved ceremonies. But the fact is they're all appearing, and it begins with 9/11. It begins with this first strike. See, with ancient Israel, the first warning was this strike that came on the land. It happened several years before the destruction of Israel, but it was a warning sign. It was to wake up the nation. An enemy was allowed to make a strike in the land, temporary, and then came this grace period where the nation hung in the balance. Well, the same thing has happened to America. September 11, 2001, America's hedge of protection is breached. An enemy is allowed to make a strike. It's a wake-up call. It's a shaking. It's temporary. But the problem is ancient Israel did not wake up. They responded to God with defiance, and that would seal their destruction. And the problem is America is now has reenacted the same steps of ancient Israel, and the same harbingers are reappearing. With ancient Israel, they made this vow after that attack, and it's recorded in Isaiah 9:10. And this becomes the key, the decoder of the harbingers. And what it says is, they said, the bricks have fallen in this attack, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores have been cut down in the attack, but we will plant cedars in their place. In other words, they're saying, we're going to defy you, God. We're not going to repent. We're going to come back stronger than ever against you. And so this seals their destruction. And what happens is, after 9/11, the same thing happens with America. America, instead of repenting and turning back to God, it actually vows that we're going to come back stronger. The leaders do this whole thing, and all the harbingers appear. Now, I will just mention briefly the harbingers, or some of the harbingers, to get a taste of it without going into detail, because we don't want to get into other things, but want to give you the chance. And of course, in the book, and the, you know, and it's all there, and the DVD's all there. But here it is: the first harbinger is the breach. So that happened September 11th. The second harbinger is the sign of the terrorist. It's a sign of the terrorist appearing. In ancient Israel, it was the Assyrians. They were the terrorists of the ancient world. Well, 9/11 is carried out by terrorists, the sign of the terrorists, which are also linked to the ancient Assyrians. You have the third harbinger. Isaiah says, the bricks have fallen. It's the sign of the heaps, the fallen buildings, the ruins of these fallen buildings becomes the chief sign of the attack. So, after 9/11, it's the sign of the fallen bricks, the falling towers, the falling buildings, and then the massive heaps at ground zero, the key signs of the attack. Then comes the tower, or it says the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild. And so they're vowing to rebuild stronger and higher and greater than before. Well, what after 9/11, that's exactly what happens in America. The American leaders start vowing, we're going to rebuild the ground zero strong, higher than before. It's got to be taller than before. We're going to build a tower. In fact, there's something in the news we could talk about when we talk that actually happened this week that has to do with this harbinger.
Oh,
right,
really?
Now.
We'll do that. We can go into that. We'll use this first half in the harbingers and things, and so you will have time to do that.
Yeah.
Insert it when you want.
Yeah. So the thing is, so we have that, and so what happens at ground zero is they say, we're going to build this tower. It's going to be strong, bigger than before. It's going to be taller than before. It becomes this key of America rebuilding, but without God. And so that the tower is manifested, the fourth harbinger. The fifth harbinger, and I'm just touching on, the fifth harbinger is the stone of judgment, that there's a stone that has to appear on the ground of destruction. It's mentioned in Isaiah. And it's a particular kind of stone, has to be cut from mountain rock, and a massive rectangular block of stone has to be placed where the bricks of it had fallen. Well, this manifests about 3 years after 9/11. It manifests that this gazit stone, this biblical stone that is in Isaiah, manifests at ground zero. Ceremony takes place around it. American leaders bow over the stone. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea they're reenacting the ancient drama of judgment. The sixth harbinger is the sign of the sycamore, a sign that happened in ancient Israel when the attack happened. They cut down the trees of the land, the sycamores, which is a sign of biblical national judgment. Well, what happens in 9/11 and with America? The same sign of the sycamore, the sign of national destruction, manifests at ground zero with a sycamore being struck down by the towers on that day, and it becomes a symbol of, they make it into a symbol, they put it on display, the sign of the sycamore right there at ground zero on September 11th. And then comes the seventh harbinger, which is the sign of the, what's called the Erez tree. That means, it says the sycamore has been struck down, but we will plant cedars in their place. So they're another act of defiance. We're gonna put a stronger tree right in the place, right where the roots were of the old tree, and we're going to make it a sign of our coming back stronger than ever. Well, it happens. The same thing happens at ground zero. About 2 years after ground zero, a tree is lowered down into the exact spot of where the sycamore had fallen, and that tree is the same as the Hebrew Erez tree, the same tree of Isaiah, the prophecy. So all these things happen right in order. And then you have, it gets even more eerie that you have the actual vow, the eighth harbinger, a leader back then had to have made this ancient vow, this pronouncement. Well, the thing is that it would have to happen in America, but what American leader in their right mind is gonna pronounce this ancient vow of judgment over America? And the answer is, it happens. And it happens 3 years after 9/11. On the anniversary of 9/11, American leader gets up, famous man, senator, in the capital city, and he proclaims the ancient vow of judgment, word for word from Isaiah, the ancient vow of defiance, with having no idea what he's doing. He does it. The Eighth Harbinger manifests on Washington, D.C., and then you have the Ninth Harbinger, and again, I'm just touching briefly,
right.
no detail, but just to get the idea. Ninth Harbinger is the prophecy that so that in ancient Israel, right after the attack, they had to have, the leaders had to have proclaimed this that prophetically, that this is what we're going to do, it's what's going to happen in the future, and it did happen. Well, right after 9/11, the Ninth Harbinger manifests, and it happens right the morning after on Capitol Hill itself, when America gathers on Capitol Hill to give its response to 9/11. One man is chosen to do that. He is the head of the United States Senate, Tom Daschle. He gets to the floor, and out of his mouth, after he pronounces America's response, and out of his mouth from the Senate floor comes the ancient vow of judgment from Isaiah, word for word, on Capitol Hill, and nobody realizes what's happening. He says it becomes a matter of national record. What he says actually is going to come true, and he speaks of things he doesn't even know, but they're going to happen, and it's actually going to set the stage for the second shaking of America. And so, just to mention, the harbingers are not, it starts at 9/11, but doesn't end there. It's happening now,
right.
And it is happening. It affects everything from the, you know, the what we're still in, the crash, the economy, all that was from ancient mysteries. We'll touch on some of them, but it affects every single thing. So there's the first shaking, and now the second shaking is the economy, and it keeps going. So this affects every single person listening to this broadcast.
Absolutely. And just to mention briefly, on in the 8th and 9th Harbinger, both of these men, John Edwards and Tom Daschle, left, you know, scandals hit them afterwards. And so, you know, that's pretty eerie in itself.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Both of them fall.
Wow. Absolutely. Well, let's go back up and tell us about that one where you said something happened today. What was that? I'm curious.
Yeah, well, not this week. Yeah, this was a news thing all across America, even the world. And what happened was that on Monday, this Monday, you have the fourth harbinger is the tower.
Right.
Here's the thing. It's that, you know, actually there's an ancient translation of the Bible called the Septuagint in Greek, ancient Greek. And what it says is in Isaiah 9:10, it translated this way. It says, "The bricks have fallen, come, let us build ourselves a tower." So literally, at ground zero, this tower starts going up. It's the fourth harbinger, it's the most colossal harbinger of all the harbingers. And this is the thing where they vow, just like Isaiah 9:10, where it says, you know, the whole point of Isaiah 9:10 is they're saying, well, okay, these are bricks, but we're going to rebuild with strong, these big stones. That means we can build higher, better,
right.
Stronger. So that's exactly what this tower is all about. You know, and so all the leaders say, got to be strong, got to be taller than the other one, got to be bigger. It's bigger, better. It's our statement of defiance. Well, they've been working on this for, you know, in one form or another, planning it or building it for like 10 years.
Right.
And so what happened is on Monday, I mean, this is Monday for the first time in its history, in 10 years, the tower exceeded the height of the Empire State Building. And so the thing is that for the first time, and so this became news all over America and all over the world that the tower is now the highest structure in New York City. Now this is the Harbinger, and this is the highest structure in New York City. And they're all, you know, they're everybody saying, hey, that's great. Well, this is part of the ancient mystery. It's got to be higher, than before.
Right.
And the day, if you remember, Dan, there's this mystery at Ground Zero, and in the Harbinger, it reveals a date, and the date it reveals is April 30th, and that has to do with the foundation of America and this prophetic thing that happened, and we can touch base on it, but it's the mystery behind Ground Zero, and in the Harbinger says it's April 30th. Well, the day that this became news, the day that the tower exceeded all the rest at Ground Zero was April 30th, the date that's given in the Harbinger.
Well, you know that... It's this whole, folks, this whole thing is simply amazing. And, you know, I saw a brief video before I ever had you on. I saw a video online, and the video that I saw online, while it was a good video, didn't mirror touch what's in the book and how it's laid out. You really got to get the book and see what it is. And what you're talking about, that was the most shocking part of it, that title. There was no denying when you got to that part of the book And that part of this message, there's just no denying it, and it's completely eerily shocking. So I guess to take us into that, we could start with what I was having a hard time pronouncing the word to, the biblical scimitar.
Okay,
you're going to laugh at me again. Folks, you laughed at me a couple times already, so you think about that when you go to buy stuff. Okay, anyway.
Oh, okay.
No, I guarantee, listen, folks, this is a great video. I already have the video, so it's great. Okay.
The video is called the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment. It's two discs, two DVDs, but they told me recently it's become the number one faith video in America. So it's coming out. It's like the Harbinger. It's coming out. So both are different, but either way.
Let me butt in. I am going to butt in and say something about that. Folks, I read about that. It said that the number one faith video of all time was the Ten Commandments. And when I had read this video, Isaiah 9:10 video, was right behind the Ten Commandments. And so that's simply amazing.
Yeah. I believe, Dan, it's because it's the time. I believe that it's because these words, why the Harbinger became the bestseller and why this DVD became the bestseller, is because it has to go out for now. So, I mean, that it's for America. And the Shemitah is really a mind-boggling thing, an amazing mystery, and that it's the mystery in ancient Israel that every 7 years they had to rest, and it was a Sabbath year of rest. So the economy rests, everything stops, all that, the buying and sowing stops. And on the last day of the Shemitah year, the Sabbath year, it was called Elul 29. It was the 29th day of the Hebrew month of Elul. And on that day, all credit is wiped away. All debt is wiped away. All, basically, the financial accounts of the nation are wiped away. And this is supposed to be a blessing. I mean, that you know, you're wiping away all these things. But the problem is it became a judgment, because when Israel turned away from God, all these things that were supposed to be blessings, they came back at Israel as a judgment. They said, we're not going to observe the Sabbath, we're not going to do a Sabbath year. And so what happened is it came back at them. And actually, when you read Jeremiah, and you read that when they were taken into captivity in Babylon, the number of years was 70 years. The reason, it says, is because that was the number of Shemitah years, the number of Sabbath years that they didn't observe. So it comes back as a sign of judgment against a nation that has driven God out of its life, that has put money ahead of God, and it's a sign that specifically touches the nation's financial realm, wipes out the financial accounts. But what does it have to do with America? America's not under the law of the Shemitah, but it's the sign of a nation that has driven God out of its life. It appears in America, because here's what happens. When we talked about the first shaking, 9/11, I talked about the second shaking, the economic collapse, well, how long, you know, how far are they separated from each other? Remember, it's a seven-year mystery. It happened the collapse happened 7 years after 9/11. It happened in 2008. It happened in September of 2008. That's 7 years to the month of 9/11. Mm-hmm. It happened in the second week of September. That's 7 years to the week of 9/11. And in fact, when America was commemorating 9/11, on Wall Street, the second shaking, the calamity, was being set in motion. But it goes deeper than that, because what was the greatest day of this entire collapse? The greatest day was the greatest stock market crash in American history, September 2008. The greatest crash, when did it take place? It happened on the biblical day of the Shemitah, the day that wipes away all the financial accounts, debt and credit, wiped away completely. And that's exactly what happens, and it forms this great recession, which wipes away account after account. It's this Shemitah. And if you go back 7 years from that, because it's a seven-year mystery.
Okay, hold it right there.
Okay.
First
of all, to get the Harbinger, you can get it everywhere. It's available everywhere. The book is there. To get the full teachings behind it, it's like seven DVDs or CDs. The website is theharbingerwebsite.com or theharbingerwebsite.org. And the ministry is called Hope of the World. It's hopeoftheworld.org or hopeoftheworld.com. And to get the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment, the DVD, you can go on Amazon and you can get that.
Oh, okay, great. And that Harbinger site, again, was what? Because I have all those DVDs. But tell them
great,
again,
great.
One more time.
It's theharbingerwebsite.com. It's also called theharbingerwebsite.org to make it easy to remember. That's where they get the full revelation.
Right. And, folks, if you're over to our Prophecy Hour page, you'll notice looks like the book, The Harbinger, on our Prophecy Hour page over in the right-hand column. Just click on that, and it will take you right to that site. Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more on The Harbinger.
Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children. Once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I ask you to consider a donation tonight for the Father's Mission Church in Wichita, Kansas. It's a new month, and so we need to restock and not get behind. We have so many people coming in. It's summertime, and we have more and more families coming in. We say this is our mission to the homeless and poor, meaning that some people say, well, Pastor Dan, what do you mean homeless and poor? Aren't the homeless poor? Well, absolutely. But it's not just the homeless that we help. We are in a really poor neighborhood over there, and the people can barely keep a roof over their heads. And so they come in looking for first aid, food, clothing, all kinds of things, women, men, children. In the summertime, we get so many children that coming in there, you know, and so just pray about it. We really don't want a donation unless you really feel led to do it. So pray about a donation for that. And you can find that information on how to donate at our website, prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. Of course, you can send something by mail, or you can donate online. But really now, folks, we need to get back to this program. We're now back with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn talking about the Harbinger. Okay, take us back into the Shema.
Okay. So we're going this mystery, uncovering that this mystery that's a sign of judgment of a nation that has driven God out of its life and that touches the financial realm. It actually was manifested the greatest stock market crash in American history, the year 2008, September, happened on the exact day appointed to wipe away the nation's financial accounts. That is a sign against a nation that has driven God out of its life. It happens then, and then on top of that, beyond that, and by the way, it happens like almost down to the, basically down to the hour, because that Shemitah day, when all this happens, like the wiping out and all that, it happens up to like to say afternoon, late afternoon, because it gets ready to evening. That's the end of it. So the stock market, actually, the greatest crash in stock market history, happens up to the last hours, up to like 4 o'clock. So it's down. It's basically down to the hours of the exact day and hour. To then go farther, the mystery of the Shemitah. It's a 7-year mystery. So go back 7 years from that greatest crash in American history, and what do you get? You get September 2011, which is 9/11. You have that, but you have another cataclysm because in the same month of 9/11, you have the other greatest crash in American history. The greatest stock market point crash in American history happens September 2011. It's actually caused by 9/11, and it happened. When does it happen? It happened September 17, 2001. And that you could say, well, that's 7 years, but maybe not down to the day. But it gets even more amazing. You strip away the Western calendar and you get the biblical calendar. And the other greatest crash in American history happened on the exact same biblical day of the Shemitah. So you have the two greatest crashes in American history up to those days. Both happened on the exact same biblical day, and the specific biblical day that was appointed, that is appointed to do this, to wipe away debt and credit and financial accounts. Mind-boggling.
The probability of that happening is mind-boggling. In fact, I really feel like getting a hold of I know a Christian mathematician that does statistics from the Bible, to add these things up statistically to see if this could actually just happen. Is probably just off the map. You know what I mean?
Well, do that, Dan.
I will get a hold of him.
I just happened to go. You know, it's interesting. You're the first one who said that like that. I like to hear it. I happened to see a site on the internet where somebody did something, and they said, "Well, if we just do this conservatively, in other words, not all they're doing is going with say the 7-year period of the two crashes.
Right.
They're not going like the entire history, which is the full way to do it.
Right.
Said just with that is over. It's like a figure was over a million something just for that. But it goes beyond it, because here's another thing. Here you have the two greatest crashes on the exact same day, and not just the same day, but the day that particularly that is appointed to do that.
Right.
But not only that, it happens. How far apart from each other? 7 years apart, exactly to the biblical day. The two greatest crashes in Wall Street history. I mean, that's mind-boggling. It happened 7 years to the exact biblical day. So it's not only the same day, not only that particular day that does that, but it's 7 years in the same exact period the day, to the hour, and not only that, but you know, you could say, well, okay, that's amazing enough, but here it's 7 years, 7 years. But it's not just that. The Shemitah can only happen at one period of 7 years. It can't just be any time. It only comes around once every 7 years. So when did it happen? Both crashes happened on the once in 7 year Shemitah. I mean, so it's just, and it, so at the same time when this is going on, you know, when this is happening and all the accounts are being wiped out, in Israel, you have Orthodox Jewish people who are observing the Shemitah,
right?
Because and they've only done it 7 years, you know, apart. So they're doing it, and what they're doing is they're canceling out their debts to each other symbolically, while the debts of the world are being canceled out, wiped out, and comes the Great Recession. So it's really mind-boggling. And I'm going to share something that I don't often share, and that is that here there's also this mystery of sevens here.
Yeah,
and that is that, you know, the whole mystery of the Shemitah is the key is seven.
Right.
And so what do you have? It's a seven. It happens on the crash of America, you know, happens on the very last day, the crown of the seventh year, and it's also the eve of that at nighttime it becomes the seventh month. But when did this crash complete itself? It was in the seventh hour of trading on Wall Street. How much was wiped out in 2008? How much was wiped out in that crash?
7%
of Wall Street was wiped out. And how many points were wiped out? 777 points were wiped out. 777 points in the greatest stock market crash on the crowning day of the seventh year. And if you go back to the crash in 2001, 7 years before, how much was wiped out in that crash? How much percent? 7% again. Now here's the thing where we can get into more detail here. Here's the thing I don't often share. If you take, and not to get dogmatic, but here, if you take the number, you take that hour of that greatest crash in 2008,
uh-huh.
you take the hour it happened, it ended at 4 p.m. on that day, you take the number, it was 777. So what happens if you go back 777? What happens from that hour if you go back 7 years, 7 days, and 7 hours? What happens is this. If you go back 7 years, 4 p.m. 2008, 7 years, you hit 4 p.m. 2001, and you have the other greatest crash we just spoke of. That,
right.
You know, at 4 p.m., same hour,
right.
Okay? Now go back 7 days, starting with seven Shemitah days, starting from that crash at 4 p.m. I mean, at 4 p.m. it's finished. So let's just do it this way. I mean, because you take 4 p.m., you go back a Hebrew day, 24 hours, you come to 4 p.m. Sunday, and that's the first day. Go back another one, 4 p.m. Saturday, second day. So you just go back to the seventh day. The seventh day is going to take you to September 11th.
Wow.
September 11th, 2001. It begins at 4 p.m. It's going backwards. It's 4 p.m. Tuesday going back to 4 p.m. Monday. That's the period of 9/11. But what happens, then you take 4 p.m. and go back 7 hours, and it takes you to 9 a.m. September 11th, the very hour of the attack of September 11th. The mystery of sevens takes you from 4 p.m. with the 777, and it directs you back not only to the other greatest crash in American history, but to the very day and the very hour of the attack of 9/11.
That is absolutely, I know, that is absolutely amazing. Folks, you've got to get the video, and you got to get, I'm not just trying to sell you the book, I'm not trying to sell you his videos. This message is what I'm trying to get across to you. You know, if we ran all of those sevens, just that's what would take it off the mat. I bet there is, I am going to get a hold of that mathematician.
Yeah,
I'll let you know
do
how
it.
It comes out. Because this is just too fantastic. And that's how, when the Father does something, that's one thing that we learn from Torah. We understand that He does everything in a perfect and precise way. And that none of this could have been to chance at all whatsoever.
Dan, I'm really, Pastor Dan, I'm interested in, and you know, if you give all this stuff to the statistician, and I'd love to hear what you come up with. And the thing is that there's nobody who could do that. And not only that, I mean, just you know, for one, think about what's involved for the stock market to crash, you know, or anything to happen. It involves virtually every financial transaction, investment in a stock market across the world.
Wow.
So who on earth could control that? Nobody can control
it
except the hand of God.
That.
And the word Shemitah that we were talking about,
right.
The word Shemitah means, it can mean the release, but it also means the fall, or to let fall, or to let collapse. And that's what's happening. It's like a divine hand letting this all collapse. And as it happens, it also is like, it's a sign of the collapse of the American age as we know it.
Right.
You know, because that's what this is foreshadowing. And after, when this happened, when the Great Recession, there's more and more talk across the world saying, and even in America, that we're seeing the signs of the end of the American age. If America doesn't turn back to God, that's
absolutely
what the harbinger is warning of, these things to come.
Well, I guess that might be the question. Is a lot of folks are wondering, well, okay, this is a message, it's a warning. What does it mean? The nation to turn back in God. What could save America, in your opinion? Do you want to go into that?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. There is ultimately the Harbinger is revealing these mysteries, and it's revealing a prophetic warning from God and about what is to come if we don't turn back. But it's ultimately a book of hope because it's bringing to the answer. I mean, if we don't sound the alarm, then there's no hope. I mean, if you have a fire and you don't have an alarm, there's no hope. So even though people may say, wait a minute, I don't like to hear that alarm, the fact is, it's ultimately the only thing that's going to give hope. So I don't believe, if there was no hope, I don't believe there would be the Harbinger. I don't believe I'd let you write it. I don't believe there would be anything manifesting for us to see. That's the whole point. So, God's will is mercy. And so the ultimate thing is that to bring that kind of home to what you're saying is, and I don't know how much we touch on, but I'll just touch it right now, but it's really the key thing. And that is that, this principle in the Bible that when judgment comes or when calamity comes, it actually returns. We're talking about the time. We'll now talk about the place. It actually returns to the place of the dedication of the nation, where the nation was dedicated to God.
Buttonwood, is that what we're going into?
What was it?
Is that Buttonwood that we're going into?
No. Yeah, that's well.
Okay,
that,
oops. Go ahead. What you're talking about, I just miscalled it. What you're talking about is really important information. So
by the way, Pastor Dan, you're right. Buttonwood is another mystery concerning foundation. But here's where the spiritual foundation. When Israel is dedicated to God, it was dedicated on the Temple Mount with Solomon the day of dedication. And then when the judgment came, years later, it came back to that Temple Mount. That was the sign of return, and it returned this nation. God's calling it. Well, with America was dedicated to God on its first day of existence as a fully formed nation, April 30th, which is this week that we're doing this, same day that the Harbinger made news, 1789, when Washington was sworn in, and on that first day, he gives a prophetic warning to America. He says, basically, he speaks of what's going to happen if America ever turns away from God. He gives this warning, then he brings the government on foot to a place to dedicate the nation to God, and they're going to pray, and they're going to dedicate in a little stone chapel. So the whole government, the whole Senate, the whole House, the first thing that American government ever did together with a president was to pray. So they pray, they dedicate America to God, the future to God. So if we can find that place, we've got a mystery here.
Right.
We've got it. And so
absolutely.
Where is it? Where's the place? Well, the first capital of America wasn't Washington, D.C. It was New York City. And where did they dedicate America to God? They dedicated America to God. America's consecration ground is Ground Zero. It's where everything happened. Washington and the government on the first day of America were right there at Ground Zero, dedicating America to God, praying to God, the ancient principle, the calamity returns to the ground of consecration. Mm-hmm. And so it happens right there. And America's ground actually is that. Actually, Ground Zero was church land.
Right.
And what happens is that a shockwave goes forth from that day, from that ground, and it strikes another place. I was just there this week. Strikes another place, which is Federal Hall, where Washington gave the warning, gave the prophetic warning and was sworn in, and it cracks the foundation of America. And here is just the place where Washington said, what will happen if America turns away from God? It cracks the foundation of America's foundation. And all around 9/11, all around Ground Zero, all the buildings are destroyed or ruined except one is protected, and that's the little chapel where they dedicated America to God. And the reason why they say it was protected is because an object absorbed all the force of the destruction of 9/11, and that object was the Harbinger, was the sixth Harbinger. The sycamore saved the place. And so what brings it all home to your question is the point of the Harbingers is not to condemn a nation. It's to save America.
Yeah,
it's that, we've gotten to such a point that only something that would shake us up, that only something of a, will get us, will call us back, whether it's a calamity or whether it's a message like this or whether it's a trumpet call, whatever the case is. So here is the point of the whole thing, is that God said, and actually God told Solomon, after he was on that dedication ground of Israel, when he prayed those prayers, that's when he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. So the message is, if my people, And so America, thinking of the book of the Harbinger, is a message ultimately for salvation. People are getting saved who aren't saved. It's a message for repentance for America and return and for his people and revival. But the revival starts with us. It
Absolutely.
Starts with us living in light of the day and living as lights to America.
Yes, amen. And that was our calling anyway, was to be a light to, you know, Israel was called to be a light to the nation. We are supposed,
yes.
as being saved, we are not supposed to hide under buckets. We're supposed to let our light out and shine, and we need to do that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
This whole thing is so simply amazing, folks. You just got to get all the information. I keep thinking I've got it all, and then I go back over it and read or do something else, and then it springs out at me, and so, wow, it's just fantastic. Well, we have about a good, strong 7 minutes. What do you want to do for this last 7 minutes?
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I want to touch on basically, the biblical pattern that we're watching take place right
okay.
now.
Go
and
right
that
ahead.
Is that, you know, people talk, Daniel, like, hey, in the days of Elijah. I don't know if you know the song, These Are the Days of Elijah. You know, that
yeah, I use that song for lead in and lead out of this radio program, but go right ahead.
Do you know that I didn't know that?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Wait.
You didn't know that?
No, I did know that.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess you don't hear it. Yeah, I for the last 7 years, I used that song as the lead-in to the program, and then when we go out to commercial, it goes, part of the song plays out to the commercial, and when it comes back, plays again, and then at the end of the program, it plays in the background. So,
my favorite song. Yeah, this has got to be the Lord then, because I was just led to just say this now, and I didn't, and you know, people don't know, I'm not hearing the music, so I had no idea. So, well, this is the thing, you know, people talk about that, and hey, Days of Elijah, which is great, absolutely, but we got to remember the other side. In the days of Elijah was that the culture was growing darker and darker, and you had a nation that had once known God, and that was turning away from God, and was calling good evil and evil good. It was putting the priests of Baal, you know, up in power, and the people of God were being marginalized, vilified, ultimately persecuted. And so you watch, it's like this total upside down age, and we're watching that happen. So you got two things happening. You have the culture getting darker, but at the same time you have Elijah, you know, you have the prophets, and so at the same time you have God calling his people to get stronger and brighter. It's like it's an age of polarization where the grays are disappearing. The gray, you know,
right.
where you can't go by that. And where whatever was not of God is going to get more and more evil, more and more unchristian, more and more anti-Christian, and with persecution. And so we're watching that. When, you know, if a culture says, well, now what was evil is now good, they're going to say now what was good is now we consider it evil. You know, that's how it works. There's no neutral ground. So we have to be more radical now. You know, that we're watching things happen more and more and more. You know, we're watching where the Bible is going to be declared as hate speech. You know, and we're watching a transformation just in a few short years, where America, which was founded, as you said, to be a light to the nations, founded as a new Israel, is now actually going through the very apostasy that Israel went through. And really, the Harbinger concerns the Northern Kingdom, which was the land of Isaiah, of Elijah. Same
Absolutely.
Thing. So we have to get stronger. You know, if the dark gets darker, the lights have to start getting brighter. And we have to get more radical, and we have to get more committed, and we have to get the grays out of our own life. So, you know, because that's the whole point.
Right.
We have to get the grays out of our life, that we become, like Elijah was, we become the lights of God without compromise. It's time, because if we don't, we won't stand. If we do, we will shine. And the lights shine the brightest at night. So that's what it is. So these are the days of Elijah. And on one hand, we're watching it happen, you know, but just the way it happened with Elijah. We can't curse it. We can't say, oh, that's terrible. We know it's going to happen. But that's the time for us to shine. It's our hour. It's our moment. But we can only stand if we are committed as Elijah was.
Absolutely. Folks, we're living in a time that the apostles wish that they would have been in, and all the prophets, we are living in that time. It's time to shine as a light to the nation and a light to each other. And that's, you might think and say, well, you know, I can't get on radio and all that like you do, Pastor Dan. Well, look, you have family. Start within yourself. Start with your family. Get the gray out. And the listen, let me tell you, the Father has a whole bunch of applications ready to fill out for people that want to do the work for Him. And all you got to do is just step in it. What do you think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
the Bible speaks of the end times being, you know, it talks about apostasy and we're watching it, but it also says the Spirit will be poured out. It also says the gospel is going to be spread to all the nations. We all have a part. Every one of us is called for such a time as this, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, amen. Such a time as this. Well, folks, we're getting near the end of the hour. I'm going to have the rabbi hang on with me to the end, but I want him to give any final word that you have, and then tell us about your website again, and then I'm going to have to get out of here.
Sure. Okay, yeah, to get into our, to get the Harbinger, that's all over. You can get it anywhere where the books are sold. People are buying it for unsaved people, part of being the light, and getting it to people who need to hear the word. To get the full teachings, the revelation Pastor Dan spoke about, with seven CDs or DVDs with images of the Harbinger, we created a site. It's called theharbingerwebsite.com. It's simple, theharbingerwebsite.com or theharbingerwebsite.org, either one. And the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment on DVD, powerful documentary, very powerful to show anywhere, is on Amazon. You can just say, just remember the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment on Amazon. And if you want to get in touch with the ministry, it's hopeoftheworld.com or hopeoftheworld.org.
Yeah, well, folks, those links also are at our, not only will they be at the podcast page where most folks go and download and use that to, you know, they pick us up. So many people listen to us on their cell phones, it boggles my mind. But, folks, you can find those links in the descriptions that I give of these radio programs. Also, again, at prophecyhour.com, there is a picture of the Harbinger, and there's a direct, that's a direct link over to the site that he mentioned. Okay, well, thanks a lot for being with me, and I'm going to say goodbye to the people now.
My blessing, Dan.
All right. We must remember, folks, that there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach, who gave His life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through Him is the only way to the Father. Remember, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.